Welcome to season two of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doctor. You can find out more about me by going to retaildoc.com, where you'll find out I'm one of the foremost experts on brick and mortar retailing. Every week, I invite guests, vendors, and brick and mortar retailers to share their successes and their innovations to make the shopping experience fun. I believe we can change the world by those who are working in shopping and retail, so let's get to our first guest. While I was attending Shop Talk 19, I was able to catch up with Nitin Mantani, CEO and founder of PredictSpring, who talked about his early days at Google Shopping, how Amazon has mastered commodity commerce, and online customer fatigue. Let's listen in. Thanks for joining me this week. I am speaking to Nitin Mantani with PredictSpring, and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's really nice of you to have me here.
Absolutely. Well, I always like to start off. So you're big in retail. You've done an awful lot of things in retail. We'll get to that in a minute. But how'd you start out in retail?
It's a great question you asked, Bob. And considering here at the Shop Talk floor, I see all these amazing retailer friends. My personal experience actually goes back when I was around 8 years old, and my family business, one of my uncles had a big grocery store. So CPG was my first experience in retail.
Okay, so you probably learned how to clean up and all that kind of stuff too.
Whether you're in the retail business or the restaurant business or anything, there's always the good thing and there's always the hard work, so yes.
Yeah, but see, I always think it's all about execution in retail. See, to me, it's like you can hear people tell us all kinds of things that they do in their stores, but all that matters when I walk in your store, are you executing it? Or are you just telling me that, right?
It's a combination. You know, I always give this story to everyone. Like if I remind my kind of, you know, if you go back 30, 40 years and like you would go to a neighborhood store, right? Like it's just like the picture of a small town where you have one neighborhood store where you can buy backpacks, like stationery, lunch boxes, and a few other things, right? And the neighborhood store, obviously he's the owner, so it's a single person store, right? He would personally know every single person, right? Because there's only so many people who go to that neighborhood store. And to me, it's about, execution is absolutely important, you're right, but it's also about the experience, right? Which is, you know, this person will greet you, this person will exactly know your purchase history, this person would know your kind of, you know, price sensitivity, your likes and dislikes, and that's kind of the experience when we think about today's day, that neighborhood store perhaps now is a chain of 1,000 stores. And instead of that 200 or 300 customers the store is serving, these are 22 to 3 million, or in some cases, 20 to 30 million customers. So how do you take that experience and kind of, you know, scale it up by three or four orders of magnitude?
Well, that brings us to your company now, to PredictSpring. So what do you do? What is your, why did you found it and what does it do?
It's a great segue. Thank you. So the PredictSpring, you know, our philosophy and kind of mission from day one has been, how do you rethink mobile and broadly digital experience, both in-store and online? Okay. How do you bring some of those core tenets of personalization, execution, simplicity that was existent in that corner store philosophy, and how do you bring it to the modern world? So at PredictSpring, we have kind of simplified this entire thing using technology. My background, I was at Google for many years before I started PredictSpring in 2013. So we brought a lot of the tenets that, you know, we learned at Google, and Google is an amazing consumer company. So they think about a lot about the consumer. And there are two main product offerings we offer. We have built a modern point of sale system to digitalize the in-store experience. And then we have built a native mobile app platform to kind of, you know, bring the best of mobile in the hands of consumers.
Well, you've also developed a mobile app, I think, for the associates too, right, in the store?
That's correct. That's correct.
And yeah. So how does that differ than the app for the consumer?
You know, the way we think about associate and consumer, they are two sides of the same coin. And the lines are blurring, right? So, like, if you go to the Nike store, right, in New York, they've built this entire experience where you can use the app as a consumer, and you can basically shop around the store using the app, including you can do a full checkout. But there are times where you might need help from an associate, right? So you're looking at a pair of shoes, but it's not available in the size, so you can request a different color or size, and the associate gets a notification, and they bring the shoe to you. Or you're trying to do checkout, and you want to pay cash, right? Yeah. And so now you need associates' help. So that's why we have built these technology stacks which have a lot of commonality between them. The difference is, in some ways, store associate has like a super user view because they can look at any customer versus the customer is self-service.
And any product, right?
And
so
any
they
product.
Can, at any product.
They
may, you
That's
may not
all.
Open
they
that
can look
up
at all the stores. And but even that, like, you know, like if it is not confidential, there's nothing stopping us to let the customer do that in self-service too, right? So if I'm scanning
it's transparency,
a product,
right?
It's transparency and it's productivity and it's convenience. I can just scan a pair of shoes. I'm like, oh, you guys don't have size 9 in your store. Why even bother the associate? I got that answer already, right? Then my decision thinking is, okay, do I look for a different pair of shoe? Do I look for a different color? Or do I press a button and say, are there stores nearby which has this color and size? And that should be all self-service. It will reduce a lot of back and forth.
And so you, with you starting at Google Shopping, now if I remember correctly, when you started, there were zero retailers on Google Shopping,
and then I think to be fair, there were like maybe dozen or so.
A dozen.
So early days. This is when, you know, we were still like evolving that product.
When was that? In the '80s? Was that 90s?
Well, Google is a very young company in that sense. No, this is 2000s. So we really ramped the product around 2006 and 2007.
Okay.
And obviously, I mean, it's funny how time flies. That's 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
And fast forward today, I mean, obviously it's been 6 years since I left Google, but I hear there are now hundreds and thousands of retailers and brands on that platform, and it's global, and so it's great to see how...
What was it like trying to convince somebody to join you on Google Shopping? Did people think that was not a thing, or it was too much work, or what would have been the dialogue? Because it was total trust in Google, right? If it had been somebody else, it probably would have been harder, but there was a certain amount of satisfaction and brand trust that you had from it being Google, right?
It was, and it was kind of, you know, it depends. So like if you are too big, right, without naming names, you didn't want it to participate in Google because you're like, well, what does Google know about shopping? I'm going to just not even participate in Google's ecosystem, right? So that was that kind of objection. And, you know, as Amazon kept becoming bigger and bigger, those objections went away. So a lot of the kind of traditional big box retailers who were initially reluctant to give Google, you know, their feeds and participate, they realize that if they want to win, they need a better technology stack, and Google is not their enemy. Amazon is the enemy, right? But it wasn't, you know, as straightforward in the early days.
Because it probably didn't recognize the challenge.
Challenges,
right?
Like, you know, what they're facing, and, you know, like internalizing that their real competition is Amazon.
Yeah. And so do you think that... Well, what do you think the challenge is now for most retailers? Is it all still going to be around Amazon? Is it still some version of Amazon? They're going to kill us all? Is it a function of consumers? You know, it seems like consumers continuing to move. If I hear anything here at Shop Talk, it's everybody talking about how just trying to keep up with how fast the consumer is moving. I don't know if the consumer is moving or is it the technology that's moving?
I think it's both. So there are multiple things. You know, Amazon is obviously, you know, done phenomenally well in last 20 years or so, the growth of e-com and just led the whole thing. There are a lot of positives and there are a lot of, you know, things to watch out, kind of the way I think about when, if you're a, and also like the story is different when you're a retailer versus a brand, right? So if you're like a big box retailer selling hundreds of brands versus you are like a Cole Haan or, you know, one of the vertically integrated brands, right? So I think the thing about Amazon is, anything which is commodity commerce, they have essentially just mastered that art, right? So if you know what you want and you want it, that they have mastered that. The only players who kind of play at that scale would be people like Walmart and Target,
yeah,
right? Because it's just a scale game at that level. So that commerce, you know, like is now, but the commerce is a much bigger pie and most people don't realize, right? Like it's massive. It's not just the Amazon, Walmart and Target, because Walmart and Target were there even before Amazon or Sears was there, but then specialty retail happened. So I think this idea of like one big massive retailer or a online retailer or a marketplace kind of having like a, you know, good chunk of the retail is not new. It's been true for decades. And the names change, but still there is like 60, sometimes 70% of the retail that happens outside that two or three big players in the market, and which is true so too. I think the biggest opportunity is for brands is, how do you break the logjam from this commodity commerce to an experiential commerce and build that relation with the consumer? I'm also hearing for the first time in the last maybe 6 months or a year, there's a little bit of a consumer fatigue finally, right? Like people have a little bit of that negative connotation with Amazon. They don't want
I don't Amazon. Need everything.
Yeah, they actually, there's almost like this feeling where I don't want to go to Amazon, which by the way, like in the last 20 years, that was never heard of.
Yeah.
It was all about, I love Amazon, it's easy, it's simple. And finally people are like, no, actually, I want to go to this retailer. I want to directly shop from this brand and not try to go to Amazon for every single thing.
Which is funny because we're here at Shop Talk and one of the big signs as you come to registration is AWS services that runs most of the retailer sites. So it's like...
I think that's an interesting question. And we'll see how the story evolves, whether AWS at some point spins off or continues to remain part of the Amazon umbrella. But that's the competition, and like this has also been true for decades, where in the technology industry, there are collaborations between departments of the same company, and then heavy competition across departments.
Mm.
Like Apple sourcing, components from Samsung while also competing heavily on the end product, which is iPhone versus the Samsung devices, right? So this is not a new thing. And personally, my philosophy is like, look, if you are a brand or a retailer, that you have choice, right? It's not just AWS. Google Cloud is a very mature product and it's growing phenomenally. But so is Microsoft Azure is growing, right? So you have three big players today who are offering you cloud. And Salesforce has an amazing platform too. And they have built this entire platform where, a lot of customers, my customers, are using Salesforce Commerce Cloud. So they're not using the bare metal cloud, but they're using a more complete infrastructure that Salesforce Commerce Cloud, Service Cloud, and Marketing Cloud provides, right? So that's like a very high order of value add to a retailer or brand. Instead of spending years building everything from scratch, they can go directly to Salesforce and benefit from it, right?
And all the tools are built into it.
The tools are built in, they're highly customizable, right? So I do think the choice is there, and I think people will find the best price, best value, and decide what's right for them.
Yeah, good. So one thing I ask is, when you get overworked or you get confused or something, what do you do to get your focus back?
As a leadership, I always say that the modern leader is a very much of a serving role, right? You're serving your team, your customers, your partners, your investors, and you need to truly have that giving mentality, and you need to do it because you truly enjoy what you do and there's nothing else. And sometimes it is taxing, it's emotionally draining, it's constantly as a leader. And it's true not just with me, but my leadership team too. Anybody who is a leader or has aspirations to leader, I think the first quality is, can you serve your team? And you need to have that mindset. And so personally, what I do, there are like maybe a couple things which help me. One is my family. They always help me, they ground me in a good way, and they always bring a perspective, and my kids and my wife. So that's a big part of my way of disconnecting and spending time with the family. The couple other things I actually enjoy shopping. So that's not work for me. A lot of times I would go to a store and I would, spend, half an hour or even an hour and, buy things and
discover
shop.
Something. Yeah.
Discover exactly. Something new, which I wouldn't normally, or on my mobile phone. And then, on the personal side, there's one activity which I absolutely love is I'm a road biker, and I would on the weekends I would go out in we are lucky in California, we have amazing weather. And so I would go out and do my 25 mile, 50 mile rides.
Nice. Road biking. I wouldn't have thought that of you. That's good. Well, tell me something good about retail. What's your take? What's one thing that you could tell me good about retail?
I think in the first time, I feel like, combination of retailers, really rethinking the experience. Like they're taking technology and direct to consumer at the forefront of the thinking, right? If you look at most of the brands, for them, the biggest selling channel was wholesale.
Right.
They never sold direct to consumer, right? So the first time all these brands are thinking direct to consumer, and they're thinking what an experience means, like what does it mean to have that connection, and which I think is will serve them for years to come. That just mind shift wasn't there, and finally it's there. The second thing is that, as I said, there is clearly an Amazon fatigue out there, which I think is a good thing. It'll create a more balanced ecosystem than a lopsided ecosystem.
Yeah, I think that personally, I think we're going to be, someone's going to have to break up Amazon. I just don't think as it gets bigger, we broke up AT&T for less. Just all the ways that it will be able to be part of our life. And at Shop Talk here, what's your take? What is the mood? Sounds like it's optimistic to me, but what do you think?
It's very bullish and very optimistic. We had amazing meetings this morning with several of our partners, and we were demonstrating our modern POS product. This is the product where we are live in more than 500 stores now. It's really amazing as we are showing this demonstration and getting feedback from customers, just the level of energy and the level of openness to adopt the right technology. Technology not just for the sake of technology, but technology for the right commercial use and the right customer experience. I think there's a lot of that pragmatism, and there is kind of a sense of urgency, which is very healthy and positive.
I would agree. Well, thanks very much for being with me today, Nitin. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, right at 15. That brings us to the close of another episode of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm Bob Fibbs, your host, known as the Retail Doctor, based in the United States. Tune in next week when we have another set of movers, shakers, influencers, vendors, and brick-and-mortar retailers, all there to make you a smarter retailer.